My name is Ashley Morales, and joining us today on Impact Catalyst is Dr. Diana Santangelo, the director of Thrive by Five. Thank you so much for being here today, Diana.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
So tell us a little bit about Thrive by Five, how it got started, and what the mission is all about.
Certainly. So Thrive by Five was actually started at the ELC in Pinellas, where the current CEO, Lindsay, just shared that she needed some sort of a collective, people to come together to address kindergarten readiness, making sure our little kiddos were prepared, ready to rock and roll, then families were supported. So the Community Foundation took it on a couple of years ago because Community Foundation Tampa Bay really leans into education and believes in its importance and its value. And so I was brought on to help just facilitate this incredible work. And our goal is kindergarten readiness. That's really how we measure our success. But it's not just about making sure that our kiddos are ready for kindergarten. It's, are their parents supported? Are their families supported? Do families have what they need to even get there in that 0 to 5 space? And so really excited that we have grown over the last year and a half to over 70 organizations across both Pinellas and Hillsborough counties. So we have so many players at the table. We have both of our school districts. We have the children's boards, JWB. We have, you know, community members. We have parents. It's a cross-sector network, so businesses are engaged. And we really work together to figure out how do we address kindergarten readiness and better support our families.
So for anyone watching this who doesn't know, tell us why kindergarten readiness is so important.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, you can't walk into kindergarten and know nothing. Obviously, we want kids to be ready. We want them to be able to know their letters and ABCs and be social and be with other children and just be ready for that school setting. And unfortunately, in Tampa Bay, only about 1 out of 2 of our children are ready for kindergarten, which is shockingly low. And it's not unique just to Tampa Bay. So we see this across the country and in different spaces and different counties. So it is a problem that extends, but we got to start here and we got to figure out how to take care of our community first and support that. So, and like I shared, it's not just about the academic piece. It's making sure that, you know, if a child needs some additional supports, if there's some behavioral challenges, or if there's any sort of physical or special need that a child has, we don't want to wait till 5. So we want to make sure that even before a child's born, that mom has everything that she needs and to be, make sure that there's a healthy birth, there's a support system in place. And then by the time a child does get into kindergarten, they have everything that they need in place and that they can be successful, they can be ready, they can rock those third grade reading level scores and continue and throughout their academic years and just develop prosperity for themselves and be successful in life.
Well, I think that's important to note because as we've done more research on early childhood education, we've seen how, you know, kids who aren't up to grade level or who aren't reading or who aren't reaching those benchmarks at a young age, that can carry on throughout their lives.
Absolutely. And what we've seen is if a child has not reached that benchmark in third grade, only about 15% ever do. So think about that. Like that's wild. Already by third grade, your future statistically has already been determined. And that's not okay. That means that we are failing kids if it is not their fault. So what do we do as a community? And it's not just those in education. This is an entire community. That's why it's very important to this work that it is cross-sector. We have businesses that are engaged, governmental entities. Everyone has a role to play in making sure that all of our kids are prepared for kindergarten, because by third grade, we don't want to say that we've already lost them, but unfortunately the statistics are not kind and we need to make sure that we're doing better.
So what are some of the key initiatives or programs that Thrive by Five is focusing on right now?
Great question. So there's a lot of work that we're doing in this space. And my role is a facilitator. I listen to experts. They're the ones who are on the field. They've been in this space for a very long time. And my role is just, okay, so how does this work? How do we make impacts in these different spaces? So the way it works operationally is we have a leadership council, and those are made up with the heads of organizations in this cross-sector network of about 70 organizations now across both counties. And then we have 4 spaces that we work in that members feel is incredibly important. One is child and family success. So that's probably our largest group, and that is predominantly providers. What are you seeing is happening? Where do you need more support? How do we better connect? How do I pass a family to you because your service is what they need and that's specialized for that family's own needs? So that group's really cool because you see everybody come together as a unit because this is a collective. Thrive by Five is not its own separate entity. It is just really folks coming together to address this issue of kindergarten readiness. So what they do there, and a really cool initiative that came out of that work group, is called Thrive by Five Connects. And you can go to our website and you could just Google Thrive by Five Connects in Tampa Bay. And what was developed by that work group is that a parent or a caregiver can go in anonymously. They just share their zip code, fill out a quick screener and the age of their child, and they just let the system know, I might have a little struggle with this, or if there's a food insecurity, or I'm nervous my child might need some additional help or have a behavioral challenge. So a family member will fill out that screener and the system tells them based on their zip code and the age of their child, who can provide them those services. So that's a really, really cool platform that we just relaunched recently that families can access those services. And then they get the contact point of number and they can connect and rock and roll. So that is a really important initiative that they have. Additionally, we're so excited that the Early Learning Coalition of Hillsborough County, I was having conversations with their CEO, Dr. Hicks, and he was just sharing, gosh, we really need all these literacy resources for families. We need to get them together and compile them. And so we developed this really unique partnership where myself and other volunteers and staff from members of the Thrive by Five Network, we created an early literacy reading guide, almost a pocketbook, and it's all free resources. So that is also on our website, but we also have physical copies of those. And it's caregiver resources, digital books, physical books, it's libraries, what's available. So all of these neat free resources for families to really focus on literacy and make sure that their children are reading and engaged and having those experiences. And so what it looks like is every single page has its own QR code. So a parent can just scan the QR code and get connected directly to that program. So that's been an incredible success, I will say. We launched that, gosh, 3-4 months ago, and we've already had over 500 scans. We've had over 1,000 electronic copies distributed. So that has been incredibly successful. And now we're working on one with the city of St. Pete that would like to have one very specific to their own programs and literacy for their community as well.
Are there any areas that you see more need than others as far as, you know, literacy, behavioral, or what are the areas that we're still working to kind of fill those gaps the most?
So I'd say a neat space that's newer is, and at least maybe a bit newer for Thrive by Five, is engagement with the business community. Those of us who have been in education for a long time, sometimes it feels like we're preaching to the choir. We're saying the same things. We know teachers aren't paid well enough. We know families need more support. We know the cost of childcare is such a struggle. And it's like, and so what do we do about that? And so there's been a lot of folks who have strengthen that relationship with the business community. Of course, our ELCs do. We work closely with the Florida Chamber of Commerce as well, the Children's Movement, which is a statewide advocacy network for Florida in terms of early learning. And so one of the initiatives is the Family Friendly Tampa Bay Initiative. And that comes out of our business engagement work group. And really their focus is making sure that businesses understand the value of a family friendly workplace. And I think folks, especially after COVID, are really understanding that it's not just about work. You got to be able to take care of your family too. But the win for businesses are that when employees feel like they're supported and that they're allowed to take care of their families and their loved ones, they actually are going to be much more productive. They're going to do better by your business and you're going to be able to retain them. So the ROI is incredible for businesses. So what the Family Friendly Tampa Bay Initiative is highlighting those companies that are taking care of their employees. And that is incredibly valuable. And so each year we have an annual award. And Synovus has been an amazing partner hosting these awards each and every year. And a company or an organization can fill out as a self-assessment. It's about a 15-minute application on familyfriendlytampabay.org. And they just fill it out and just share what some of their practices are. And so what we're looking at is, do you have paid time off? Do you have ideally maternal leave? So when mom has a baby, does she have to rush back to work, or can dad or whoever that other caregiver is or family member is be able to support that family? Do you have flexible work schedules? Do you have benefits for employees? Do they know that if their child is sick, they're able to run out and get their child and maybe they'll just get that work done later that evening, and that's okay too in workspaces where that's possible? Or if it's not, do they know their schedules weeks in advance so that they can plan and prepare? So that's been a really neat initiative that has grown. And I think the fun part is that it's not about are you family friendly or not. It's where do you fall in that? And so when you actually go through the system based on your responses, it will tell you what level you're at. And I'll use Community Foundation as a perfect example. We were at the third level. We were gold, which is great. I mean, we have great benefits. We have a great work environment. I can personally speak to that, being able to take care of my loved ones. But we weren't quite at platinum. There were some things we could have done better. And so we talked about it. And we wanted to make sure that our staff had some paid time off to give back to the community and to have that opportunity to volunteer in the community, get engaged with another nonprofit, perhaps. And that bumped us up to that platinum level, because when you're at that top tier, it's, you know, are you looking at DEI? Are you looking at corporate engagement with the community and volunteerism? And so it almost pressured us to make sure that we were doing better, which is, you know, a really great thing. So we bring together these organizations and we say, well, what are you doing? That's a great idea. Maybe we can do that. And some really large entities, they can have a childcare site right there. And there's Florida, you know, childcare tax credits now and things that are really happening in this space. So it's a great way to have a little bit of friendly peer pressure and competition, but it's for the greater good. That way we can all do better as organizations and as human beings, just to make sure that we're taking care of our employees and our people.
That's definitely one great thing that came out of those really challenging COVID times, is that, you know, that flexibility that I've seen even anecdotally, you know, in my circles. I have friends who maybe don't necessarily love everything about their job, but it's so flexible and they know if their child is sick, they can run out, you know, they can finish their work day at home. Even having those minor flexibilities like that can keep someone in that role, you know, and keep them retain that employee longer than they maybe would have otherwise.
It's actually the number one reason why people leave jobs. Are those challenges with childcare and lack of flexibility in Florida. So it is incredibly important to parents and not even just parents, like even myself, like I'm a dog mom. and my loved ones are my sister and my best friend. And I need to know that, you know, I can take care of them when necessary, or if I'm sick, can I work from home that day? I'm still going to accomplish my work. And knowing that there's that flexibility and that your employer cares for you and wants you to be happy and well, but they also know that when you are that way, you know, statistics show, like I shared, you know, you are going to retain employees. It's easier to do that. And so it really benefits everyone. And I think it really shines a light on that human element of you know, what needs to be happening in the workplace.
So do you ever receive any feedback from parents who are using these resources or were able to get connected through the Thrive by Five programs or the collective?
Sure. And my role is more so I work more closely with organizations, but now we're doing some conversations with parents, because when we're talking about literacy, and we know this is a huge challenge and it ties to, of course, kindergarten readiness, we want to make sure that kids are reading, and not just reading for the academic component of it, reading because that means they're spending time with mom or they're spending time with their uncle or a sibling. It's really important to have that bonding time and that attention. So we want to make sure that books are in the home, that those healthy interactions are there, that play is there. So that's been a really neat piece of the work. So we're chatting with parents. What might be a reason why you don't read to kids? And honestly, what I hear a lot, time. It's a tough time right now. If mom and dad or whoever's in the home are working and they're working multiple jobs and they're coming home exhausted, and let alone childcare costs are over like 20% of many families' income. And in many cities, I think it's close to like almost 20 cities now that childcare actually costs more than rent. So families are hurting and they're struggling. And when you need to get food on the table and when you're exhausted, it's not always the first thing. I'm going to read to my child. It has to happen. And you see parents that do that, which is incredible, but it's how do we do better to support those parents who are stressed or might not have books at home or might not have a library right next to them. And so those things came out of that, like the early literacy resource guide. We need to be speaking more with parents to understand what their challenges are. And do they even know? I'll be the first to share. My background is K-12. I spent the first bulk of my career with youth. So I had no idea that by the age of 4, 80% of the brain's already developed. By 5, 90% is developed. And that is wild, wild to think about. And so how do we make sure that parents who aren't in the space of education do understand how quickly that brain is developing? I mean, in the first year, there are 700 neuron connections every second. I don't even know what that means. Like, it just sounds insane. But that is how much is developing, and that's how quickly children are picking things up or not picking things up. And then there's that piece of equity with children that are coming from low-income homes. hear about a third of the vocabulary that a child from a middle or upper class home comes from. And so how do we support those families where there might be those struggles? If mom and dad are working 2-3 jobs to take care of their family, that child is not going to maybe have the same exposure to vocabulary and books that another child might have. So how do we try to create some equity and support those most in need?
So for anybody watching this interview who's looking to get involved, how can they support your work and bring this into their own lives?
Absolutely. So there's definitely so many different ways. We have funders that are involved that just say, this matters to me. I want to direct some of my funds to support this work. We have community members. I have an incredible community member. I won't share her name because she's way too humble and she'll be mad at me. But she has been so fabulous in working with data and statistics and helping me put things together and driving the work forward and the Thrive by Five Connects platform. You know, and we have folks that through their own work and their organizations, they are so busy, but they believe in the power of this collective work. And so they take hours each month to make sure they're attending these meetings, to follow up, to connect folks to services. So there's so many different ways to be engaged. It is a cross-sector network. We want businesses to really think about their family-friendly policies and engage with that work. And filling out the application and the annual awards is really fun and going to those networking events, but it's what are you doing tangibly? What are you doing within your own workplaces? So I would say that honestly, everyone has a role to play. And we have some folks that are just community members that say, I'm going to drop off those early literacy resource guides at this place and that place and that place because they need to get it. And we just recently got our guide started to be translated into Spanish because there was a lot of conversation. Well, we can't leave out our Spanish speakers. And what about those parents who might not be comfortable reading in English? And maybe the only books they have are in English that they might get from schools or libraries. So how do we make sure that we're getting all that information out in other languages? So we had a marketing firm step up and say, we got you. And just did it for us pro bono. So everyone has a role to play. And so, of course, I'm sure my information will be shared, but please feel free to reach out to me or go to our website at Thrive by Five, and then you could fill out that information. I'd be happy to connect and explore just synergies and how we can support this work.
Absolutely. So your contact information is on the Thrive by Five website?
Yes, absolutely. Perfect.
Thank you so much for being here today and for the work that you're doing in our community. It really makes a difference.
Thank you, Ashley. And I appreciate the opportunity to highlight the work that all of our partners are doing in this space. This is really them and they are pushing this work forward. And it's so important for our community. And I'm really, really excited to see the engagement and the spirit behind this.